Kane is in the building.
Hello and welcome back to another season of the 3-Peat Podcast. This is our seventh season, first episode. Once again, I'm your host, and joining me is my other co-host,
Steven Benazzo,
and TJ Howell.
And we also got Steven's brother, Jackson. Jax, welcome back, filling in for Castle, kind of.
What's going on, guys?
And of course, it wouldn't be a football-related episode, Giant-related episode, if we didn't invite the man, the myth, the legend, Joe Rubeck, LPG, license plate guy, future Hall of Famer, you name it. Joe,
yo,
welcome.
Thanks, man.
Welcome
I'm
back,
glad
Joe.
To be, I'm glad to be back on, man. I love it.
I think this is the fourth time we've had you on, which is pretty crazy. We're excited, but obviously not as excited as you, because you got your Giants going to Minnesota this Sunday. It's been, what, 5-6 years since the Giants last? So, obviously, a lot to look forward to. And I'm not a Giant fan, but I really think that the Giants can win this game. I haven't been impressed with Minnesota this year. Most people would probably agree Minnesota has looked this year. But who wants to start? I don't know where to begin. We'll let TJ.
I'll start. I'll start
okay,
right there.
Perfect.
I'll start right there.
We'll let you start.
First of all, I mean, come on. What do they have? 13 wins? So you can't just, you literally can't look at a team and be like, man, not impressed. You know, like you would have to be silly to say that. You know, they have one home loss. So you can't say that either. You know, so I understand where you're coming from, though. They don't look like some juggernaut. So I'll give you that much in regards to the Vikings. But yeah, man, I'm going to go with what you said. I think the Giants do have them, or at least, you know, this is going to be a pick 'em game, because I believe the Giants should have won the first meeting. And, you know, if it wasn't for the block, you know what? I hate when you say if it wasn't for this, it wasn't for that, because it did happen and you did lose. So I can't stand when people say that. However, I'm saying it, tough shit. If it wasn't for the block punt and it wasn't for stuff like that, and didn't Bellinger put one on the carpet? So, you know, without a couple plays here and there, you know, and then of course lose it on a 61-yarder, which of course is freaking Giants fashion. The Giants beat them and give them another loss at home. So with that said, this, what is 7-9-1 Giants are going to beat the 13-4 Vikings. You heard it here, God darn it.
Well, it's funny that you just made a prediction, because last year, the first episode of the sixth season, we had you on, you made a bold prediction, three of them to be exact. But one of them I want to talk about was, I believe you predicted Kenny Galladay, 2 touchdowns, including a game-winning touchdown against Tennessee. Obviously, that didn't happen. But imagine if during that time I had told you Daniel Jones would have the best season of his career and Kenny Galladay would be a non-existent player this year, and the Giants would be in the playoffs right now. What would you have told me if I had told you?
Yeah, all three of those, shove them up your ass. I wouldn't have thought any. I wouldn't have been like, I mean, honestly, if anybody predicted this season for the Giants, I think they're full of crap. And to be honest with you, there are people out there. Actually, I'll tell you guys something funny. This is the first year ever for me, ever, that my prediction was worse than what their record was. I had them winning 8 games. Yeah, you know, yeah, I go on and I tell people, yeah, 10, definitely 10, double digits, double. I live in double digit world. But this year I actually picked them to win 8, which I thought was still, you know, a bold prediction. And they actually have 9. And I thought that was funny, because I never undervalue, you You know, I always overvalue. So I wouldn't have believed it. I wouldn't have believed the Daniel Jones prediction you just said, because let's face it, the Giants are literally going into a playoff game with Hodgins and James as their 1 and 2. And Slayton, whatever, which is mind boggling. So I wouldn't have said that. And, you know, it's no secret that, you know, Galladay needs a change of scenery, just like Evan Ingram. You can't sit there and well, let me finish your question. And the third thing, you know, was the record. And getting back to what I said, I don't believe anybody could have picked that. And if they did, I still think they picked it without playoffs. Because you could pick, oh, yeah, you know what, the Giants go in 9 games and just missed the play. So you can't tell me you got 9 and playoffs. And if you did, you should have bet it. But getting back to that Galladay thing, I don't care who you are. If you're a Giants fan or really not a Giants fan, if you hated on him or you didn't hate on him, if you thought he was being professional about the whole thing, if you thought he gave up, I don't care what your feelings are. If you weren't happy for him when he caught that ball and everybody on that team celebrating with him, then, you don't have a heart.
It's funny you bring that up, because I was texting Castle throughout the game, and he and I were just like, thankfully, Kenny, he finally got it. He finally got one. And that kind of moves into my question here, bringing it back to Daniel Jones. He's obviously been one of the bright spots so far this season, and nobody thought it was going to happen. And with playing under Eli and getting the playoff advice, how do you think his stats will look come post game on Sunday?
Well, that's a great question, man. Do you remember Eli's first game, playoff game, or no? Eli sucked.
Oh, yeah.
Eli sucked. So, but do you remember how many years Eli was in the league before it happened?
No.
So you got to look that up. Right. You got to look that up, because I think Jones now has settled into being a football player. And I believe he's going to have a lot better stats than Eli did in this first playoff game of his career.
I'm willing to bet, Joe, he'll definitely have more rushing yards. I think that's a given.
Yeah, I'm willing to bet you're right on that one. He's definitely going to have that. I think he's going to throw for more yards. I think he's going to have a TD. I think Daniel Jones is going to come out firing. I really do. Even though, you know, the Giants should really establish Saquon Barkley in this game. He really should be a killer on that field. Because I don't want to hear any crap about November, December Barkley. I want the September, October Barkley, because if you want that money, you know, don't give me the September, October. I need September through January Barkley. So, but I'm going to flip the script. I'm going to say Daniel Jones leads the Giants to victory, not Saquon.
Hi, Joe. Go, TJ.
No, I'm just disagreeing with Joe. I can get behind it 100%.
I mean, last time the Giants played the Vikings, Jones like had over 300 passing yards. I think that might have been like one of his only games with over 300 yards passing.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, like we started off this show, they're beatable. I was praying it was the Vikings and not the 49ers. You know, I don't want to go to San Francisco versus that defense. They're like, you want to talk about, you know, well-oiled machine at the right time. They're clicking. So I think that everything is playing out for the Giants, baby. Road Warriors, baby. Road Warriors.
Now, Joe, I got like 2 questions for you. The first one's kind of a quick little, not too much about the game, but it's still part of the game. So I remember the last time the Giants played the Vikings, it was Christmas Eve, and you went to that game. But then was it going back home you had some travel issues, or –
Yeah, I'm like, why do you? I thought this was supposed to be a happy show, man.
I know. I'm just saying, how's the travel plans looking for this time?
it was the pits, bro. It was bad. The only bright side was that, you know, I was off from work, so whatever it was going to be, it was going to be. I don't mind those trips when your team wins. If you want to know the truth, when your team loses, you know, you want to get home. You know, you don't want to stay in the city you just lost in. You don't want to be sitting in the airport with all your Giants shit on. You know, it's not the same. But, yeah, I had 4 flights canceled. I had my original to JFK. I got the news before the game. And then I rebooked to LaGuardia, even though my car's at JFK. And then I found out at halftime, that was nothing. And then I rebooked to, I think, Hartford, Connecticut. And I was like, screw it. I'll get a car service. It's going to be a lot of money. But I'll get a car service a couple of hours all the way to JFK. And then that got canceled. And then it's funny because, you know, the guy I go to games with, Danny, you know, he wears the helmet, D-Bone. So the helmet guy. So Danny likes to drive to games. I know, it's so crazy, right? He drives everywhere. So he took the 17-hour drive to Minnesota, except it took him 26 because of weather. And then after the game, I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm like, you're driving home? He's like, yeah. I'm like, dude, I want to go with you so bad. But even if I get stuck in the airport for a day, I'm still getting home before you. And he drove me to the airport. And he's like, you have no flight. I'm like, I know. I'm like, I'm going to try and get somewhere. Like, just get me somewhere. And then at the very last moment, they got me out to Boston. So I was like, all right, I'll see you later. He left. And then I got the news that was canceled. And that was like at 11 o'clock at night. So I stayed in the airport. And then the next day, late on Christmas, I finally got home. And it was, you know, obviously I can't say it was worth it because they lost that game. But I just pray it doesn't happen again.
Yeah, let's hope this time around is much smoother. And I think the weather's supposed to be fine and everything. And no holidays or anything like that either. So
nothing.
Now, my other question, now more related to the Giants themselves. I mean, a lot can happen in a year. I know even for my case as a Bears fan, you know, this point last year, both the Giants and Bears were looking for new general management, new head coach. Now, this time around, you guys are in the playoffs. The Bears have the number one overall pick, but you guys now have made the playoffs for the first time since 2016. So do you think this season, regardless, obviously everyone's main goal is to win the Super Bowl, blah, blah, blah. But realistically speaking, do you think this season has gone the best way it could have with a fresh GM, a brand new head coach, a healthy Saquon, a pretty revived Daniel Jones, like all those factors? Do you think this season played out the best it possibly could have?
Yeah, I mean, Steve, look, if you don't think it played out the best, I don't even know what planet you're on. This could have wound up like the Bears season. It has to be a shock to everybody. You know, the talk of the sports radio today was about house money and how some people are like, shut up with that house money. It's so stupid. You are what you say you are. You are what your record is. You should be there. And on the flip side, I'm like, kind of is house money. You know, like anything that happens here on in, you wouldn't take it. Like if you lost against the Vikings, like, oh man, we should have beat them. But holy shit, we're in the playoffs. So it's all house money. And yeah, the bottom line, it played out incredibly well. And if the Giants beat Minnesota, it plays out even better.
So just going back to the game against Minnesota, Saquon Barkley, I believe, only had 84 yards on 14 carries. Obviously, in order to win, yes, you predicted Daniel Jones to step up, but Saquon Barkley needs the ball more often. On the season, the Vikings rush defense averaged 123 yards. So do you think that's probably a big talking point this week for the Giants offense?
Yeah, good question, Josh. I mean, look, the bottom line is, you know, like we just talked about before, if I had to guess, looking at the stats, the Giants should establish that run with Barkley. Like I told you, I'm going to flip the script, though. I think it's going to be put in the hands of Jones. I really do. I think Barkley's going to do his job. But I would like to see the Giants open up the offense and then just blast them, blast him and blast him with Barkley, you know, like just feed him and feed him with like, you know, 7, 8, 9 carries in a row, just all the way down the field, smash mouth football, you know, after, of course, the Giants have somewhat of a lead. And, you know, we don't really get that a lot of times. So, you know, in my head, it plays out a lot better than on the field.
Joe, I got another one now too. I don't know. Have you gotten any insight to how the players are, really truly feeling about this game? I mean, I heard some things that, you know, or Daboll was saying that they're treating this game not like any other regular game, but he's not trying to, I think, overhype it. But do you get any insight that there's like excitement or the players kind of just trying to be as humble or as, you know, calm as possible, despite it being such a big game? Especially, this is Jones's first playoff game, Saquon's first playoff game, and they've been now
Leonard Williams' first playoff game.
Leonard Williams. So it's a lot of guys' first playoff game. So, what, you know, have you gotten any insight to how the players have been feeling about, you know, this week's preparation leading up to Sunday?
Yeah, I spoke to a couple actually today. Landon and I spoke for a little bit, and yeah, honestly, they really are treating it like any other game. They really are treating it like business as usual. I don't think Daboll did one thing different in this week's practice that he did all season. And I kind of like that. That's like, you know, the only break they had was the bye week and then this little rest time against the Eagles, which I thought was 100% the right call. Whether you agree or not, it was 100% the right call. So, and you still almost beat them, maybe, kind of. So yeah, the guys are pumped up. They get a little taste of playoff football. And I think Daboll said it the best. He's like, I don't care that it's playoffs. Your mind frame shouldn't be different. Let's just go. Let's go at them. So players are going business as usual. And, you know, this is a business trip. This ain't no fun in games.
So, I love how you talked about how you talked with Landon Collins today, and I actually have a question about one of the players on the defense and one on the offense. So Dexter Lawrence and Andrew Thomas, they were voted to the All-Pro team per PFF. How big of an impact do you think they've each made in their prospective positions?
Dexter Lawrence is a monster, bro.
Yeah,
he's a monster.
He's a stud.
You know what's great about Dexter Lawrence, Tom, is that he's gonna break that trend of the Giants losing that big giant TT to some other team. He's gonna cash in, man. And look, he ain't going anywhere. He's got New York Giants tattooed on him. He ain't going anywhere. You know, it's like him and my leg.
Well, didn't Kadarius Toney also have New York Giants tattooed on him?
Yeah, he did. And Odell did too, but don't worry, they can cover it up. But, yeah, Dexter Lawrence is an absolute beast. You could put 1, 2, 3 guys on him. He's going to find a way, his big ass body, to get in there. I'm so happy for him. And look, I don't talk about the offensive linemen, because the less you talk about them, the more they're doing their jobs. And Thomas is just going to be a mainstay. I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about the struggles that Neil's going through, but Thomas went through them. I think everybody goes through them. Everybody goes through them, you know, when you're a rookie. So, you know, in due time, everything works out. And, but you know what, Thomas, I'm so happy for them. I do not want to be Joe Shane. I don't know how possible Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, Julian Love, Dexter Lawrence. I don't know how license plate guy. I don't know how he's going to sign all these guys to multi-million-dollar, but you know what? That's on him. Let him knock himself out.
Oh yeah, I don't think
anybody's going. I don't think anybody's going. Either. I think everybody's staying,
including the last one too. LPG, I think, is staying.
You know what? Somebody told me through the grapevine he's got no freaking choice.
Once he got that mural on his leg, that was official.
He's got no choice. I think he's too old by now. He ain't going anywhere.
So I think Stevie will have the last question, but, my last question for you will be, the last time you played the Vikings, you were able to shut down Dalvin Cook in the run game. I believe he also, like Saquon, only 80 yards, not much of a factor for Dalvin Cook standard, but Justin Jefferson, TJ Hawkinson destroyed that secondary, the linebackers. So what is Wink doing this week to obviously limit their production? Because a guy like Justin Jefferson, you can't shut down.
Yeah, Justin Jefferson obviously is the main issue. And, you know, I hope that the whole defense doesn't go to cover him because you're going to be in trouble. But I don't know. Did Landon Collins play last game? Did he play? Oh, yeah. Did he play in Minnesota?
Yeah, he had that big pass breakup on the sideline. And
oh,
Dave,
yeah. So like, right. But he didn't play like he played last week.
No,
like,
no.
McKinney didn't play, though.
That's correct. McKinney. I'm talking about Collins. I meant McKinney. So the funny part about that is I really believe that, Wink, he ain't changing anything. He's going to bring the house. Look, you're going to have Adoree Jackson. So that's a major, major piece. And I do believe that Adoree Jackson would be left on a little island with Jefferson for a little bit. Maybe rotate Love over there. I'd put, Collins in the linebacker position on Hawkinson and let the chips fall where they may. Keep going at Cousins. Keep going. Let him make the mistakes that he's going to make because he sucks. He doesn't suck, but I don't like him. So I don't think that he's going to do any damage. Isn't Cook a little hurt, by the way? Didn't he get hurt again?
Yeah, he's always hurt. He's
actually, he's always... I think he
had
just
him in fantasy. He is always hurt.
I don't think the guy wants to practice, actually, you know?
And I believe the Giants have the advantage because Kirk Cousins is amazing in 1 o'clock games, but the game is what, 4:30?
Yeah.
There you go.
Cousins, no good. But don't give me Jones's stats either on late games either. So stay away from that.
Night games is the
night games are no good. Yeah. Primetime games, I know.
Let's see. My last one quick question. How's the leg coming out with the tattoos and everything? How many more pieces do you think you're gonna add?
I mean, look, it's got.
I thought you were gonna ask about his ankle. That's the more important question.
Yeah, so, the ankle.
Joe suffered a real injury.
Yeah, the leg is. Let me see. Do I turn this around, this bad boy? So it's got.
Oh yeah.
It's got like yeah. It's got. I have to fill in the wide right. Those players have to be filled in. And, I have some more around. I think I got in there the stadium. That's new. Giant Stadium whatever they're called again, the spirals. And I don't know. I got a few more spots I got to get in there. But we're going to be all right with that. We're gonna be
That's
all
awesome,
right.
Though.
Yeah,
it's going out good.
The ankle, oh, geez, man, I can't. I don't know, man. I'm on the IR this week. I got to get ready for Philly.
Contact injury.
Yeah, it was non-contact. I think I tripped over my own damn feet.
And then my last question about the game. Obviously, we know like we were talking about it that you said like the big factor is Jones having a big game. Obviously, the Giants need to have Saquon to have a nice game too. But what like player do you think kind of maybe under the radar needs to really have a solid game for the Giants to have a good chance at pulling this one out?
Jalen Smith, because Jalen Smith sometimes picks the wrong hole or starts to make a little those tackles more or less not in the backfield. Jalen Smith, I'm a big fan of. He doesn't get a lot of love because of the things I mentioned, but I think he's going to put a helmet on somebody, something fierce. Because let me tell you something, if I had to do it again, Davis last week looked like a monster, I heard. So, and it's funny, you're shaking your heads. Yes, I don't really get to see, those guys because I'm at the game and I got a terrible view from where I sit. I mean, I love where I sit, but it's a terrible view. So I don't get to see it until I watch the game again. I'm like, Davis. So I think Jalen Smith feels that heat. I think he's going to make a couple of big plays, bro. I really do. My biggest scenario, Adoree Jackson has Jefferson on lockdown. Cousins is viewing the field because he can't throw to Jefferson. Dexter Lawrence is pushing eight guys back into his face. He releases the ball to Cook out in the flat, and Jalen Smith is there to pick it off. That's it. Game over.
Hey, if the Bears' third-string guys can pick off Cousins and force fumbles yeah. on Dalvin Cook, exactly. That scenario is not like that could definitely happen. So I could see it.
I could see it.
Joe, we want to thank you again for your time. I know you got a busy night, and you also we wish you a safe travels and hopefully only one flight back home from Minnesota. I'm sorry, Stevie, had to bring that up.
I apologize.
I always love coming on with you guys. You know, you always show a lot of respect, and your questions are great. And look, we'll do it again. And you know, hopefully the Giants are coming back with a victory. And if they could beat anybody in these playoffs, it could be Minnesota right off the bat. So, and that will only let the train keep going. The grind those gears, confidence builder. And I'm really looking forward to this game.
Hey, Any given Sunday.
Any given Sunday only takes one game. All of these little tidbits we can add, and right time, right place.
So before you log off, we gotta ask the real burning question here: whose jersey are you repping Sunday?
You know, I have a Road Warriors jersey that I was thinking about rocking. Everybody thought I made that win and in jersey. Man, I made that thing like 15 years ago, but I was finally able to wear it, you know. So I think it was so funny. I was like, oh my God, you make that in time. I'm like, you only knew. But I got the Road Warriors, but I think I'm gonna go Jones out, like just first playoff game. Leading the Giants to the playoffs. I think I'm going to Jones it up.
Hey, if you predict him to be the X factor on for offense, it's very fitting.
That's right. And why wouldn't I wear it?
All right. Well, Joe, I don't want to take any more of your time. Thank you again for coming on 3-peat podcast tonight.
No doubt. I mean, it's the 4-peat. We added a guy. So I love it. And again, anytime you guys want, let me know.
For sure. Thank you, Joe.
You got Thank it, you, guys. Joe. See you guys later.
See you later. Thank you again.
No doubt.
So thank you, Joe Ruback, for coming on 3-peat podcast. That was, once again, a great interview with him. TJ, are you ready to run through a brick wall again? I know you. After the Giants,
I'm ready to run through about 10 brick walls, because they made the playoffs. All the hype videos are coming out. We just had LPG on. I'm ready to run through the wall at China. Directly through.
I mean, you used that already this week after the Giants hype video was released, but, you know, I'll let that slide. No one needs to know about that.
Well, now everyone knows.
Everyone knows. I'm sorry. I had to leak that. But moving on from Giants, there's other games this week. The one game that honestly isn't really being talked about enough, but I think could be the game of Super Wild Card weekend, might be the Saturday night game, the Chargers and Jacksonville. The way the Jaguars have been playing lately is ridiculous. Trevor Lawrence has that offense rolling, and I really think that they will beat the Chargers on Saturday night. Christian Kirk, Evan Ingram, Zay Jones, Marvin Jones, they're looking really good on offense. And then their defense isn't great, but they're getting enough stops to allow for their offense to just keep mowing down the field and just putting up points. And Trevor Lawrence looks like that number one pick that everyone thought he was going to be. Stevie, what you think? You're too quiet today. This is very un-Stevie-like.
Well, because it's all Giants, you know, plus LPG was bringing the energy. I was just kind of sitting back and enjoying it. But I agree with you, because I was talking to my grandfather down at the tire shop earlier, and I was kind of, you know, we were talking about the games, and I said I'm excited for this Saturday night matchup, because I really think a lot of these games could be a coin flip. Like we've been saying, I think the Giants can upset the Vikings. I think, you know, a lot of these other games, you know, the Buffalo-Miami one, I think Buffalo will take that no problem, especially with Skylar Thompson starting. But, like, this Jaguars-Chargers one, really, like, I can't pinpoint a team. Like, part of me is like, the Jags are playing good. You know, Trevor Lawrence, over the past however many weeks of the season, was, like, a top three quarterback in the league. You know, the Chargers should kind of been up and down and stuff like that. But then you look at the other side. I mean, like, how much talent is on the Chargers, you know? But both these teams, like, I'm trying to think the last time the Chargers have even been in the playoffs. It's been a while, too. So it's not like they're
I mean, it was the Philip River days, so quite a few years.
So this is Herbert's first playoff time. And to be honest, the Jaguars, like, probably had a more successful playoff run lately than the Chargers have when they made it to the AFC Championship with Blake Bortles and just came up short against Tom Brady and the Patriots. So, like,
I don't mean to cut you off, but the way I look at it, so yeah, you have two elite quarterbacks. You have Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence. But then you throw in the coaching matchup, Doug Peterson and Brandon Staley, I think that gives a huge advantage to Jacksonville, because Doug Peterson's been there before. He's won a Super Bowl with a backup quarterback. So if he could win a Super Bowl with Nick Foles, God only knows how Trevor Lawrence is going to do against the Chargers.
And I do want to give a shout out to Doug Peterson, because when he was, obviously he coached in Philly, they had a lot of good years. They won the Super Bowl. And then I forgot, was it mutual they moved on, or did he get fired, or?
I think he was fired because, which is weird, because he wanted to move. It was issues with Carson Wentz. They kind of chose Wentz over Doug Peterson, if I'm remembering correctly, and then they moved on from Wentz the year after,
something like that. So either way, he was gone, and then he had that year away from coaching. And I remember when his name was going back into coaching searches when you know, like the Bears and Giants last year, the Jaguars, when those teams were looking, and I remember the Bears were like interviewing him, and I'm like, I know he's got a Super Bowl in his resume and stuff like that, but I don't want him. You know, I just was like, that Philly team was really talented, blah, blah, blah. I didn't really know how I wanted, and I kind of wanted to stray away from that Andy Reid tree and all that. And I wanted someone new. But clearly he's a good coach, because, yeah, this Jacksonville team is talented, but this Jacksonville team just held the number one overall pick in the draft. And now are AFC South champs. So you got to give credit where credit's due, because it's not like Lawrence now is in his sixth year. It's only his second year. Last year, he looked like he had quite a ways for his development. Now he looks like, give him another, you know, he just needs another year in this league, and he's going to be a top QB. And even defensively, they made some moves. Like, they made good moves in the offseason, but I didn't think it'd pan out like this. So I think a big thing was coaching, because Urban Meyer was just god-awful with the Jaguars. But yeah, I got to give credit to Doug Peterson, because he really turned that team around quickly, and I think that he found their guy. I think he should stay there for, you know, as long as they keep winning. They're the home team. They're going to have the home field advantage. So the Jaguars can easily win this game. The Chargers are coming off a bad loss to Denver. A lot of their key guys got hurt. Mike Williams got hurt. I think another couple guys got hurt. So, and they, I think Austin Eckler got banged up a little bit. I don't know enough to knock him out. I know Mike Williams hasn't been practicing, but, and the Chargers themselves just been banged up this year. Joey Bosa, you know, I think some of their corners, JC Jackson's, he's been done for quite a while now. So they're not fully healthy, which could play a big part in this game. So I'm looking forward to it. I think it should be a competitive wild card weekend as a whole, not just, you know, these couple games.
So TJ, I want to talk to you about your probably two favorite teams playing on Monday Night Football, Cowboys and the Buccaneers. Your boy Tom Brady and Dak Prescott.
Oh, you mean Dak Prescott and Eli Manning's son.
There you go. More very fitting after having the Joe Ruback on.
And Dak Prescott and the New York Jets is owner or father. Ah, sorry, promise.
So back to the Buccaneers and the Cowboys. What are you thinking? Because you've seen the Cowboys twice a year for the last however many years you've been alive, and they're always in primetime, so I'm sure you catch their games too. The way I feel about the Cowboys is they're very overrated. I think most people do. But I also feel the same way about the Buccaneers. I don't think that they're a very good football team, and frankly, they shouldn't have even made the playoffs. So where's your head at for this Monday night game? Who do you give the advantage to as of right now?
I give it to the Bucs strictly because we know Tom Brady can turn it on in the playoffs when clutch time matters. He may have not had the best seasons, like you said, the record. I don't think they shouldn't have made the playoffs. They like barely squeaked in.
They're under 500. They're 8-9.
Yeah, yeah. But I solely believe that the Bucs are gonna win this game just because they have Tom Brady as their quarterback. Look, I hate Dallas just as much as the next person, especially because I'm a Giants fan. But I mean, they, like you said, they're kind of underrated, or not underrated, overrated. Yeah, they're overrated. Dak's thrown at least one interception in the last 7 straight games. Their defense.
And doesn't he lead the league in interceptions after missing 5 games?
Yeah, yeah, it's a real great time when Cowboys fans try to use that against, like, comparing Daniel Jones to Dak Prescott. And it makes it even more of a case for how Daniel Jones is a better quarterback than him this season. Anyway, Dak's been fraudulent. The offense as a whole has been fraudulent. It's either Dak's on it or he's not. The run offense is either on it or it's not. The defense, either on it or they're not. Like, their defensive front is obviously something to worry about if I was Tampa Bay. But they haven't been consistent enough all year, at least in my opinion. But again, I may sound biased because I'm a Giants fan.
Hey, that's why I picked on you. I wanted to hear this bias.
Yeah. And the best part about Monday night's game is I'm up here in the lovely state of Maine with my cousin, who's a diehard Cowboys fan. So not only do we get to watch the Giants on Sunday, hopefully we get to watch the Cowboys lose on Monday. And yeah, everything would be peachy.
I thought you were going to mention who's broadcasting the game as the best part, because Joe Buck, Troy Aikman, gets to call the game. So I think it'd be very fitting if they once again get to call a Cowboy game in which they lose.
Yeah, and what makes it even better is that it's the playoffs. And as Stephen A. put it, I don't know if I'm getting the quote exactly right, but what can go wrong will go wrong. And we all know with the Cowboys, 2 good things don't happen in a row.
A good way of putting it. So Stevie boy, a lot of Dallas hate there from TJ. We got to be fair, so we got to balance it out. So how does Dallas, who are the favorites, they're projected, they're 2.5-point favorite on the road. How does Dallas secure the win on the road in Tampa Bay? Hostile environment, all of this.
I'll tell you what, not turning the ball over. Dak cannot turn the ball over. And I think Jerry Jones was asked about that question about Dak's turnovers. And, you know, so Zeke this year has been a lot better with the fumbles. Last year was real bad. Last year was not looking like the same player in the slightest. This year he definitely looked better. And then obviously Pollard has just been such, he seems like he keeps getting better every year. But I think the biggest thing is, you know, they have weapons to score. Defensively, they'll force turnovers, you know, between Trayvon Diggs, Micah Parsons, their other corners and safeties. That Cowboys defense was, you know, fantasy-wise was a great one because they were scoring touchdowns and stuff like that. But they did create a lot of turnovers and score points and stuff like that and put the offense in good position. But Dak's got to be smart, and he's got to just not turn the ball over. And, you know, I don't know why this year just, I mean, maybe the way the season started by they struggled against Tampa Bay. It's funny because they started their season off with Tampa Bay. It was at Dallas. It was in Dallas, but they started off with Tampa Bay, and now they're starting off with Tampa Bay again, this time just in the playoffs. So, you know, you kind of consider the playoffs are almost a brand new season than the regular season, because whatever happened in the regular season doesn't matter anymore. It's a whole new, all the stats, all this, that, it's all said and done. Now it's, so it's funny how their two little seasons, they started off with Tampa Bay. Maybe this time it'll be a better outcome for them, but back to my kind of what I was saying was, you know, maybe the way the season started with Dak getting hurt and kind of messed with the whole, you know, rhythm of the season and chemistry with his guys and all that, and coming back and whatever, but you know, like, he's got to be on his A game, and we tend to see Dallas does choke in the playoffs. You know, there's a lot of times where they just come up short. And a lot of times there's been times, like, I know, well, now it's probably, I think I was in high school, but when Dallas was like the best team in football, they were like the number one seed in the NFC, and Aaron Rodgers went into AT&T Stadium and they upset the Cowboys. I think it was like one of Dak's first couple years. So now Dallas not being that much of a high seed, they gotta just come out and play hard and not turn over the ball. And it's kind of like, which Cowboys team are we going to see? The one like last week against Washington, or week one against Tampa, or the one that beat Philly on Christmas Eve? So it's just kind of like, which one are we going to see? And it seems like too often they have a really good game where they look like a top team, and then they have a game where you're like, is this the same team? Like, are these the Cowboys that I'm watching? So I think if they could just put together a good game plan and, you know, and I said, and mainly not turn the ball over, they'll be in the good hands.
I like that, the way you just put that. You're really not sure which Cowboys team you're going to see. Are they the last week Cowboys? Are they the week one Cowboys? Or are they the Cowboys that we saw on Christmas or the one on Thanksgiving with the Giant game? But there is one stat that I do want to bring up, because this one isn't a stat that gets wiped away because it's not a fresh season. And that's 8-0. That's Tom Brady's record against the Cowboys all time. You think Brady has that on his mind? Because he was asked about that during the game in week one by Mike Evans, saying, hey, aren't you undefeated against the Cowboys? And he said, oh yeah, I am. Won that game. I'm sure he knows that.
I think especially like a guy like, you know, Brady and these guys with these records, like, you know, they say, oh, I'm not worried about it. I'm worried about, you know, winning the game, it's a playoff game, and, you know, worried about the championship. But like, it's still in the back of their heads. You know, don't let them fool you. Like, these records and everything, like, they it does, like, mean something to them too. I mean, because, like, what's another Super Bowl to Brady? I mean, you know, obviously it's big, but, like, he's got seven of them, you know? He's already got one with the Bucs. It's not like he hasn't won one with the Bucs yet. Like, he's got one with the Bucs. You know, what's eight compared to seven? He already has, like, the most Super Bowls out of any player of all time. So, but being undefeated against one single franchise, has never lost a single franchise, and not like he's never lost to, you know, like a Jaguars or something, like the Cowboys. That's America's team, you know, in quotations. You know, they're a well-known franchise. They have Super Bowls. They're
cut that out with America's team.
I'm just saying, TJ, for the sake of the argument, you know.
But also the fact that they are the underdog at home. I'm sure Brady knows that.
Oh yeah.
I'm sure that's right in the middle of that's bulletin board material, as they call it.
It is. You know, he's got these notes printed out. You know, like I said, obviously the goal is the Super Bowl, but he wants to remain undefeated against the Cowboys. He wants to, oh, we're the underdogs. You're going to choose them over me. You're going to count me out because I'm old. We sucked. You know, we haven't played our best football this year. We didn't look like the same team as the past couple years. You're going to write us off? That's more bulletin board material than necessarily like, oh, it's Super Bowl time, playoff time. You know, I think those reasons are more. Brady's bulletin board material than while some of these other guys, you know, for other teams, it's different for everyone. But I think, I don't know, I could be dead wrong, but I think that's more of it this time around than usual.
No, that's fair. We're on the same page for once, Steve. And before we wrap up, I'm going to give you guys a little bit of a curveball. And I'm going to go first just to make it a little more fair to give you guys some more time to think about this. During the year, we've done X-Factors, we've done Stardom Sit-Ums, whatever. But this one plays along on the X-Factor route. And I want you guys to give me a player, probably on offense, who is guaranteed to score on Saturday, Sunday, or Monday. An offensive player who you think, you know what, they're a lock to score. So if you're placing a bet on a player to score an anytime touchdown, who is that guy? So like for a quarterback, for example, that would mean that they'd have to run a touchdown because you don't get the bet if they throw for a touchdown. If you want to make it more interesting, I guess you could say, you know what, Joe Burrow is going to throw for 3 touchdowns. We'll allow that. We'll be flexible. But I'm going to start, and I could go an easy route or I could go a hard route. The first one, which I think is pretty obvious, I'm going to go with Deebo Samuel. Played his first game back last week, which frankly, he didn't really need to play, and he barely got the ball. It's been, let's see how long since Debo's actually like scored. Only played 13 games this year. Hasn't scored a receiving touchdown since October 9th. You think he wants to get in the end zone Sunday in a playoff game against Seattle? You know, a team who they're going to be playing for the third time? I think yes. And I don't know. Something weird tells me that Evan Ingram's going to score. He's been getting hot lately down the stretch. He's turned to one of Trevor Lawrence's favorite targets. So the obvious one is Deebo Samuel, and the bold prediction is going to be Evan Ingram. And Stevie, I'm going to toss it to you.
That's fine. I thought you were going to go with another Jaguars guy that I'm going to go with, and that's Travis Etienne. I think, like I said, obviously, like, easy ones, Justin Jefferson, you know, McCaffrey. But that, what's fun about that? Nothing. So
we're here for the bold takes. I like it.
That's it. And so I'm thinking Travis Etienne. I mean, he had a big week last week, if I'm not mistaken, right? And he's really just had a really turn around this, you know, of a season, like his rookie year.
2 weeks ago, not last week. He barely played last week.
Okay. So either way, he wasn't hurt or anything, right? Am I going to have to, like, he's playing Saturday? All right, yeah. But, you know, but his rookie year, you know, he pretty much missed the entire, or he did miss the entire season because of that foot injury or whatever it was. And then this year, first, like, couple weeks, didn't get that much action. James Robinson there. But now, like, he's the guy. And, I mean, yeah, 2 weeks ago against Houston, he had 108 yards, 9 attempts on that touchdown. But he's just a big play threat to break one out. He's a good receiving option. And I think, you know, I could really just see them kind of him running around on the Chargers and stuff like that. So,
well, you think about the playoffs, you want to be the one to get that first big play to really shift momentum. And in a big game, like a playoff game, who's going to be that guy to really shift momentum? And he has that ability to be that big play guy, break off a 20, 30 yard run. So that's a really, really good take. I like that you said Travis Etienne.
And plus, if you see a lot of their games where their offense was clicking and they were just playing well as a team, he was a big part of it. You know, he had a monster game. So that's why I think, and plus, you know, they want to get Lawrence comfortable in rhythm and they want Etienne to get in rhythm and stuff like that. And what better way than to get them in the end zone? You know, so whether Etienne catches it, rushes it, you know, I'm all for the Jags scoring. And
ever since they traded James Robinson to the Jets, he has really taken on the workhorse load. So whether it's So against the Jets, he carried the ball, I think, 22 times. He also had a bunch of catches. So he's effective everywhere. So whether it's Trevor Lawrence throwing Travis Etienne the ball out of the backfield, or it's just him running to the outside, it's a very, I would say that's a very safe bet for him to break off or a big play. So I like that.
And it seems like we got the Jaguars at least scoring two touchdowns.
I think it's gonna be a fun game.
I think so too.
I'm curious what TJ thinks. Hopefully it's not Derek White making the All-Star game.
No, nothing will be as bold as that take, at least right now. This might be bold, but it might not be. But I'm going with Isaiah Hodgins at least scoring one touchdown.
That's a very good take. That's not obvious. That's bold. I would say that's pretty – the Giants need a guy like Hodgins, a guy who you don't really expect, even though he's really become their number one. You don't really expect Isaiah Hodgins to be the guy to kill you. So you need production from those type of guys in a playoff game.
Right. And last time they played Minnesota, he had a phenomenal game. He made the defense look like Swiss cheese, which the Giants need in a wide receiver. And like, just look at his story. He was a Bills practice squad player. He wasn't getting NFL snaps. He was just the practice squad guy. Joe Shane picked him up, and he's become an absolute superstar on this Giants team, on this Giants offense, which is missing superstars other than like Saquon and now Daniel Jones, which sounds like a crazy statement to make. And if you asked me at the beginning of the season that Daniel Jones would be a stud at the end of the season, I would be like, no. But anyway, so Isaiah Hodgins is my bold take. And I think my easy pick is, I believe, if he's playing, Leonard Fournette against the Dallas Cowboys.
Any way for you to bash on Dallas? I love it.
Like, I just, in morally and as a Giants fan, I cannot root for Dallas. I cannot pick a Dallas player. I cannot. No, it's not going to happen.
There's four other games that you could have picked any other game.
I know I could have, but
I like it though.
But damn it. Like, I honestly was thinking like picking Evan Engram or ETN because I've loved.
So you're going to say like Jamar Chase, loved, maybe.
I mean, yeah, Jay Chizzy's up there, but
I respect it.
You guys kind of took who I was kind of initially thinking of with Engram and ETN, because as much as it pains me to say, I've been very impressed with Evan Engram this year. Kind of one of those, I hate to see you go, but love watching you leave kind of scenarios. But yeah, I give it to Leonard Fournette. He can get the tough yards. They're going to use him wherever they can. And if he can get to the outside and they can block off Micah Parsons from getting at him, I think he's guaranteed at least a touchdown.
I like that a lot. Because the thing is, for Fournette, as long as he's healthy, he's going to produce. And I'm not really sure what his status is, but I haven't really seen anything to make me worry about his status for Monday night. So I think that's a pretty safe bet that you pick. So good picks all around. Shout out Castle, we miss you, and I'm sure you would have had a really bad prediction as well. Okay, all jokes aside. Castle just gonna be here. He had a work event tonight, but he'll be back next week. So that'll wrap up this week's show.
Well, before you officially wrap up, hopefully the Giants win, because it could be you know, the TJ and Castle, the Giants lose, or depending on how
it could be a very happy podcast episode next week for Castle and I, or you will get the wrath of Castle and I.
Well, to be okay, I don't want this to go on too long, but if it's a good game and you guys lose, should be no wrath, because the way Joe said it, you guys still overachieved. Like, you, no one would have predicted the Giants to have 9 wins. No one would have predicted the Giants to be in the playoffs. And now you're in a playoff game with 9 wins. Okay, if you don't win, yeah, it sucks. It's going to sting, but there should be no wrath. If you get blown out by 40, sure. Yeah, there's going to be a wrath, but
I guess it depends on how the game goes. Like you said, if it's a good game and it ends in like Christmas Eve, if it ends in a 61-yard field goal again, I'm gonna be very butthurt, but I'll be like, hey, at least it took them a ridiculously long field goal to beat the Giants. That's how I came away from Christmas Eve.
That's more reasonable. So I just wanted to put that out there, make sure we're on the same page. Yeah. It's reasonable. Yeah.
We're on the same page. The wrath may come depending on how the game goes, but I'm going with the optimism that if the Vikings do beat the Giants, if they do, it's on some crazy field goal or some Hail Mary when they're down with three seconds left on the clock. If it's like something like that, I'll be upset for a little bit, but we'll be fine. But if it's a blowout or something, some blasphemy happens, you both will hear about it, and then Castle and I will be rearing and ready to go come next week.
And I'm surrounded by Giants fans on this podcast, at home, my grandpa. Well,
to be fair, Stevie, you're a Bears fan. There are no Chicago fans in New York. Like, come on.
I know. I just
so you just set yourself up for that one. Yeah, you're surrounded by Giant fans. You're also surrounded by Jeff fans. Like, that's normal.
I know.
I don't walk around every day saying, "Oh my God, I'm surrounded by Chicago Bull fans." Like, no.
Well, what I'm saying is like there's no. It's not like my family is like a Jets family or like a Patriots even. You know, like, it's all Giants. Or on this podcast, it's mostly Giants. And then so like. That's especially, they're the only local team in the playoffs this year. So that's I hope good things happen.
Stevie, you're just giving me headaches right now. I'm going to end the show before my head explodes. So TJ, shout out to you. Thank you for filling in for Castle. Hopefully next week you fill in for Stevie and his ridiculousness. Thank you for all the hard work you've done with our Instagram. Make sure you guys check that out at 3P Podcast. Our partners, Liberty Shirt Co., OP Sports Betting, make sure you check them both out. They got some great stuff going on. I don't need to keep going on about both of them. Listen to other episodes. We've talked about both of them individually enough. Same with our partner, Wild Chat Sports. They do a great job. Kevin, I think he had a pretty cool thing happen earlier this week where he made a shirt for David Dobrik and he was wearing it. So make sure you check out Wild Chat Sports. They got some cool things going on. And thank you, listeners, for checking us out. This is our 7th season, and we're just going to be pumping out some great episodes for you guys. So thank you.